Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Big Move podcast. I'm your host, Em, from fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. I'm really, really excited about today's conversation as I've had the pleasure of meeting and getting to know this person in London, and she is such a freaking riot. So excited for today's convo. Today, I'm here with Juliette Angus. She is a top international fashion blogger, digital influencer, and some of you might know her from the popular Bravo reality TV show, Ladies of London. So Juliette has a highly engaged following of 315K on Instagram and is an American currently living in London with her husband and two children. Juliette, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Hi. This is so fun.
So fun. Thanks for coming today.
It's a gloomy day. I'm drinking tea. I mean, two Americans living in London. This is how life is now.
We're so quintessential. Juliette came in my apartment and I'm like, do you want a water or a tea? Like, we're so London now.
And I said tea. I mean, if it was champagne or tea, I probably would have said champagne. But is midday, so we'll hold off a little bit.
Note for next time. Okay. I love it. So how Juliette and I know each other, we met through Insta. We met through blogging, met at a few events last spring. And then we have a mutual connection, Erica, who is your part-time assistant.
Yeah. Well, yes. Editorial right-hand gal.
Yeah. She's like a complete rock star. Like, you're hashtag blessed to have her.
She's killing it too.
Yes. Yeah. She totally is. So again, to a couple little icebreaker questions. Speaking of champagne, speaking of drinking, what is your favorite or what is your go-to alcoholic beverage?
Now it's beer.
Really?
I mean, talk about becoming more of a Brit by moment. Yes. I got married in Napa Valley. So, and a long time ago, almost 12, 13 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
How many? It's so long ago, I can't even remember.
Yeah.
And I've loved wine. I mean, so much so that one summer I was drinking so much Whispering Angel that the vineyard basically called me down for harvest season. And I spent a weekend with the farmers, like cutting the grapes at Whispering Angel. That's how
You're
much
joking.
I was like a wino. And then I think I just I drank too much, if that's possible. And I found this one beer called Brewdog.
Yes.
And it's called the Punk IPA. So now at the end of the night, you will not like, you know, at dinner, I've swapped my Cabernet Rosé and Chardonnay for a beer.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And pub culture is huge in London. So yeah, you've like really transitioned over.
I mean, it's just one thing at a time, I guess.
Yeah. Have you been to the brewery? Because they have a brewery and then don't they have like pubs around
London? Conveniently, there is one. So if I ever run out at night, I can just pop down and pick up a 4-pack. It's not a 6-pack here. They come in fours.
I love that. I'm also such a beer drinker myself.
Oh,
so
really?
Yeah, I am. I kind of go back and forth between wine and beer, but coming over to London and like having a pint outside in the springtime is kind of like the best thing you can
do. It is.
Yeah.
It's I used to when I first got here and I was going to pubs, I didn't know what to drink because I didn't like beer. So that was 8 years ago. And so the wine, things are falling off the walls.
Things are falling. Things are happening. Right?
And I didn't. And the wine, you know, at some of these pubs, you can't get a nice bottle of wine. So I was like, what do I do with this terrible wine? And I'm going to be here for hours because, you know, the sun's out. My husband's going to join us.
Yeah.
And that's where I created the white wine spritzer I invented it in my life and then started telling everybody about this drink in the U.S. because, you know, no one knew you should just put soda water, twist of lemon, a glass of ice. Then that crappy wine doesn't taste so crappy anymore. It actually is refreshing and delicious.
Yes.
So that was my drink for a while. But now I'm on beer.
No,
beer or
beer
champagne?
Train.
Like a nice Ruinart glass of champagne.
Yep.
Or last night it was a bottle.
That's perfect. I love it.
That's the way it goes.
Yes, need a little bubbles in your life. I love that. Cool. So as you know, the name of the podcast is The Big Move. So I want to talk about your move to London. So first and foremost, though, I didn't realize that you were Chicago native.
Chicago, okay. Born and raised.
Yes, my husband's from Elmhurst, so we have that in common.
I know that. Yeah, okay. The suburbs. I'm from the north suburbs, Northbrook and Lake Forest. And I moved to LA after for university. I went to USC and lived in New York for a year, met my husband and moved to Montreal where he was living because I was living in LA when we met. So I lived in LA for 14 years, you know, bounced around a little bit and then Montreal and then here. So we came over because of his work.
Okay.
And I guess now I'm working too. What else was I going to do, right? I could have lived a life of leisure in Montreal because I don't speak French, so I couldn't work. But moving here for his work, now I'm working too.
I love it.
I mean, I've always worked. I don't think I could not work.
Yes, of course. So,
I mean, eventually one day I'd like to stop, but you know.
Yeah.
Not yet.
I feel you. I'm with you on that, 100%. So how long ago was that then?
8 years ago now.
Oh my gosh, you've been here for 8 years.
Yeah, I moved 8 months pregnant. I'd have like two doctor's notes, but I was pregnant with my son Truman 8 months. So we moved November 26th. My due date was January 4th. He was born on Christmas Day. We skipped home from the pub and my water broke, which wasn't what happened with my first labor. And luckily we lived three blocks away from Chelsea Westminster, so walked to the hospital and gave birth to him, 5 hours later. But I moved 8 months pregnant.
That's insane, because I was going to ask you.
It was not easy.
I can't even imagine that, because moving over here is kind of a shock to the system, like between visas and just sort of getting acclimated with living far away from family and friends, not to mention being 8 months pregnant. So what was that?
And with a 2.5-year-old.
And with a 2.5-year-old.
Yeah. Schools. I mean, learning, you know, driving, getting a car, being mobile, help. You know, I needed help because I had no one, no family. I didn't have any friends really yet. I knew one or two people.
Yeah.
And so I needed to find a nanny. And I mean, everything. I needed to find, you know, how everything works. I mean, getting just television hooked up here is like the Fred Flintstone era, you know? They're like, oh yeah, we're going to come by and then it'll be a couple weeks till we do the switch. I'm like, oh, so no one's had TV in this house before. Everything was a struggle.
Everything is different. Air conditioning. I moved in the summertime.
Oh, we don't have it.
We don't have it. No air conditioning here.
Because it never gets hot enough. Ha, ha, ha. You know, the 2 weeks that it's 100 degrees is worth getting an air conditioner.
Yeah, I agree. I moved in the middle of July. And so they were like, no, you don't need air conditioning. Like, you're set.
No.
The time when you need it.
Yeah.
Do you...
And then the fans sell out because everybody's buying fans. And then you can't buy fans because all the stores, Amazon sells out of fans. I mean, that's how bad it gets here.
Yes. Yes. It's funny. Same struggles there. Do you miss anything in particular about America? People ask me this all the time. They know I moved from New York. They're like, oh, don't you miss NYC? Do you ever get that?
Yeah, I think I miss the things that I'm actually happy that we don't have here. Like, I miss Target. I miss a Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yes.
Like, I was just, when I walked in, I said, do you know a party store? You know, Parties Plus. I miss all that access to everything. Right. As big of a city London is, it's actually quite small feeling because it's made up of all these little neighborhoods, you know? And they say, you know, each little Notting Hill, Marylebone, Knightsbridge, Chelsea, South Kensington, it's the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. And really, that's what it is. You've got your dry cleaner, your little fruit stand, your fish shop, your this, but you don't have the access to everything. And you know, I'm kind of in this mode right now where I don't want to be supporting Amazon, to take over the world. I'd rather support smaller businesses, and not that Target and Bed Bath & Beyond are smaller, but the access to stuff is really hard. But it's the same thing that I don't miss about America, you know?
Yeah.
Big parking lots and, you know, the huge SUVs and the, you know, going in and rows and rows of everything. I think it's like the way we live here is so sweet and this kind of...
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a little time stand still a little bit, but yet at the fastest pace ever because it's still old school a little bit.
Yeah, that's so true. Especially with our grocery stores, like everything is just a bit more boutique.
Yeah. But it's fresh because we don't have all the, it's against to have all the
like
preservatives.
Yes, exactly.
So our bread actually does expire in 3 days.
Right. And so with that, I feel like by default, we are able to be a little bit more healthier and the things that we're buying in the stores, which is amazing. But right. On the other hand, it's like, can't just get in my car, do a quick run over to Target, get everything that I need in one go, home, groceries, all that stuff. It's a bit more sort of boutique-y.
Yeah.
But not a bad thing. So you have two kids and your husband in London. How has your sort of
And two dogs.
And two dogs.
We cannot forget Lady Peanut Butter and Duke Von Lego. They are my children. They're just really furry.
I love it. Yeah. So you've got the whole clan over here.
Yeah.
Has your experience sort of been raising your family here been generally positive?
100%.
Yeah.
I think it's
so good to hear.
They are so knowledgeable about the world. You know, I think we travel to so many different places. You know, we aren't just going, you know, I don't know, to Hawaii and Mexico. I mean, not that that's bad. You know, the places that I grew up, I mean, thank God my parents were European. So I spent every summer in Europe. I'd go to Poland. Anytime I wanted to do a program anywhere, my mom said, go. So I did summer at Cambridge. I studied a summer in Madrid. You know, I always was like, my mom was like, go. I was like, okay. Which I'm not going to do the same thing with my daughter. I'm going to be like, don't ever leave me, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
But my mom was like, go see the world. Here are the kids. I think the way that education, I think education's a little hardcore. I mean, the kids or learning how to multiply at like 5 years old.
Wow, but really?
Yeah, like times tables.
A little bit advanced. Five,
yeah, it's a little hardcore. I mean, they're really, really burnt out. But the way the system, I think it does work because they get those half terms. So we get weeks off in between terms and longer, you know, they're off for almost a month at Easter. So it works because they're kind of full tilt. But then the problem is they don't get off of school till July 15th.
Oh, wow.
So very short summer because we have all these breaks. But the kids, I think the education, raising kids here, they're just really conscious about being in the center of the world and cultures and different religions. And, you know, they celebrate Diwali Day at school. They do all these presentations about, I don't know, I feel like they do feel that we are at a center of the world. You know, I do. Yeah. I think when I lived in America, I thought the world revolved around the U.S. And maybe back then it did, you know, the Reagan years and stuff like that. But right now, I think being here for them has been so amazing. And
yeah, that's great. They're just that
really
much
positive.
More surrounded by culture, like you were saying. Okay, I'm dying to know, do they have English accents?
So Truman does.
Okay.
Georgina sounds more American.
Because she's your oldest.
She's my oldest.
Okay.
Because she just sounds a little bit more like me. But Truman is very British and actually makes fun of our accents sometimes. So like,
oh my God.
He'll be like, yeah, okay. And like, I'll try to do my like Chicago, you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh. But he can also do like a Manchester voice and he'll do a Scottish voice. He does a, if it ain't Scottish, it's crap. You know, as an Angus, you have to do that. But he says, Mommy, can you please put it in the bin, all of it? And I'm like, all of it? And he's like, yeah, all of it. And he'll make fun. Like, he knows we sound different.
How hysterical.
It's really cute.
My British friends make fun of mine. So you kind of have that in your day-to-day household.
Yeah. Well,
that's amazing.
He doesn't make fun of Mom too often. Okay. It's when I'm pointing out how British he is that he'll be like, well, yours sounds like this then. And I'm like, okay, maybe yours is better, actually.
I'm dying.
I know. It's so cute.
It's really, really cute.
Yeah.
So I want to get into your area of expertise, which is obviously fashion blogging, and you've made such a name for yourself over here in London. But I see you have a really strong background in PR and fashion. Mm-hmm. So what was the beginning of your career like and like your first job?
Well, my first job ever was at the Style Network. It was off of E! Had launched a new network, and I had interned at E! My senior year in the newsroom for E! News. Okay. And then they were launching this new Style Network, and I wanted to be a TV presenter. I tested as an MTV VJ. It was down to me and I think Soon Shin Park and She got the job. I didn't. So it was the two of us and, you know, sliding doors. What would my life be like? But I still have done television. I still did it. But I actually did TV production at first. Then I started auditioning, did like commercials and things like that. And, you know, I was being in LA. I wanted to be on TV. I had all these friends that were actors, dating directors and stuff. And then I just realized I really wanted like, I don't know. It wasn't, you know, I wasn't making big money. And I was like, okay, well, I need to start a career that will. Maybe this is the right thing for me. Maybe I'm not right ready for it. It's not right for me. So I went into PR and I launched my own PR firm. And I worked with small brands and learned kind of this whole celebrity, well, influencer really way of working with up-and-coming brands, getting my friends that were in the magazines and you know, little starlets at the time coming and curating how to make these brands work. And so much of that is what brands right now are trying to figure out how to do, because it's, you know, they can't even get to the celebrities now. So influencers, and how do we send product? And I actually, when I moved here, I got a job working at a PR firm. One of the best ones. I worked with Christopher Kane, Erdem, amazing, David Coma, Antonio Berardi, I mean, Erez Missoni. And I actually did a business plan. It took me a year to get the job. And I did a business plan about the power of celebrity and VIP and influence. And little did I know that a couple of years later, I'd be doing it myself. Because then I booked the TV show.
Yeah.
So I had to leave the job.
Yeah.
And then when the TV show was on, I was like, what's my career? I don't want to just be like, you know, fighting with women all day long. I need a career behind me. So, and then that's when Instagram just started. And so I started a blog, and now it's been, oh my gosh, I think 4 or 5 years.
Wow. And it feels like a really natural kind of segue for you.
Four and a half years. How long has it been? 4 years. You know what? 4 years. Well, it feels like it's been about 15.
I don't think
I've ever worked harder.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have not worked harder. And I'm, and you know, I'm not going to say my age. Although, no, I don't want to say my age. Actually, have I come to that? Because it surprises people. But I'm old. I'm not the spring chicken. And so, and I think that's an advantage, and a, you know, also a disadvantage. You know, in different ways. But it's me, and I've never worked harder. It is not easy. It is like being an Instagrammer, as some people call me, is not easy and may look easy, but that's the whole
absolutely
BS part of it.
But what I love too about you is you keep your blog up to date. Like, I feel like with Instagram kind of taking the forefront, a lot of women influencers, bloggers, they don't focus on their website anymore, and they don't blog, and they don't write long form articles. But I noticed that that's a priority for you.
Well, thanks to Erica. You know why it's a priority? Because I get about 20 to 25 DMs a day about people asking me questions. And yep. I have a full plate already, but I get back to these people because they give me their time with their likes, with their comments, with their support for me. So I get back to these people, but I really want a place where I can just say on the blog. So where should I stay in London? Well, even with my London hotel guide, people will still DM me being like, okay, if you had to choose between this hotel and this hotel, I'm like, oh my God, I've become a travel agent, but I love that people trust me. But I really want my words, you know, and my favorites to be on the blog and send people there, because I really don't have time to reply to everyone during the week, and I don't want to be ignoring people. So just on the blog.
Right.
If it's not on the blog, then I'm gathering everything. Like, next up is my beauty, where I get my hair done, color, cut, my extensions, my makeup, who does it in town. So if somebody's coming for a wedding, like, so on the blog.
Yeah.
On the blog.
Yeah.
On the blog.
Yeah. But that makes so much sense. It's you know, a place where you can direct people outside of your Instagram, and you have this web presence. And I think it's still super important to have that portfolio that's outside of Instagram.
It's more of like a guide, you know, like, yeah, what's my favorites, like my favorite parts of the biggest part is the guide, which I'm actually redoing the blog because I don't like the layout of it right now. I want it to be kind of more itemized, but, you know, what's 5 things you need now? What are my favorite things? What am I loving? You know, and then under 150, what's in my closet? And then dream items that maybe I, you know, I've spent all my money, my budget this season, but what would I buy if I still had money?
Yeah.
In my budget. So like those are the favorite parts. And then like the blog posts, I'm trying to do less of these outfit blog posts.
Yeah, no, I get that. So in terms of, I guess, building your brand internationally, has there, what's kind of been like the biggest challenge for you?
Well, it's hard. It's hard living in London because most of my audience is still in the US. And what's great is about, I've held on to the Ladies of London fans and by Instagram stories, thank goodness that launched because it's my own little channel. So my viewers, you know, I can get up to 55,000 views on my stories. I think I had that when I was in LA 2 weeks ago. Whereas I can sometimes barely get 2,000 likes on a photo if it's a fashion-y photo. People want to engage, see my me, where I'm going, where I'm eating, you know, what I'm doing with the kids. What's London life like? So that's become a big, big kind of outlet for me. I don't even think twice about stories. We're all literally, I'm actually haven't posted a picture in 2 days. I'm in like a freeze mode.
Yeah. That makes so much sense though. And then you keep in touch with the women who were on the show. That was what, 5 years ago or something?
Our last season just aired 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Amazing. And what was that like for you that time period? How long were you on the show for?
I mean, I would say it was torture. But then you look back, at the time it was torture.
Okay, okay.
But now
why?
I look back, I'm like, would I do it again? Of course. Because I don't hold back in life anyway. So I guess I'm perfect for television because telling me not to be honest is like telling the Pope to be Jewish. Like it's, or no, does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does.
It does make sense. It's like, I can't be the opposite of what I am.
Yes.
Made sense in my head. But you never know when it comes out of the mouth. It's like me going into a party yesterday. I literally, the woman who's hosting the party or it was the brand, she was like, I'm Juliet. I'm like, oh, I'm Juliet too. I guess we have to kill you tonight. And she was like, what? I'm like, oh, it was really funny in my head to, but not to you.
Yeah.
You're British number one. It wasn't like, I thought, you know, dry humor works, but yeah, sometimes, yeah, I don't say the right thing. I mean good behind it.
Wait, so when you say it was torture, like what was filming like? Did you have to film like all day or were there like certain like kind of time slots that you had to be available?
Yeah, it was full blown. I mean, that's why I couldn't really have a real career while being on the show. I had to do something where I mean, blogging and it is a real career. I mean, like a career as in nine to like a desk. I couldn't be in an office because when we're filming every day. You have to be on or available at least. But you know, it's my kids, my husband inside our house sometimes 3-4 times a week with 12 people. There's 2 sound guys, there's 2 camera guys, there's 2 PAs, there's a director, there's the producer, sometimes executive producers in town, there's a runner, and they're all in your house as you're having a casual, you know, making breakfast with the kids, you know? We want to get the natural having breakfast with the kids, what's your morning routine? All of a sudden at 5 a.m., there's 12 people outside your door.
Wow.
But I loved it. I mean, you know, my husband, said whatever makes you happy. I don't know how happy it made him, you know, showing every part of our life, but he's also the greatest thing in the whole world and whatever makes me happy, he'll do.
Yeah.
And ultimately it was fun. And I loved, I mean, Bravo. I think we weren't done. We were just starting the show. So it's a shame that it got canceled, but
yeah, I think I caught an episode or two.
We were just getting started. Yeah, and there's so much more to say, especially with Meghan Markle now and the royal family, whoever thought that would happen. It's like, so, hey, Brits, we'll show you. Americans can make this place a home, you know?
How do you think it compared to like, because I obviously watch a lot of like Housewives of Beverly Hills and OC. Like, did it was it more drama, less drama, same amount? Like,
they wanted lots of drama, you know? We wanted to show our careers, but they wanted drama. So, you know, they said, no one wants to see what women want to do. That's boring. And I'm like, that is so not true, you know? Yeah. I mean, Sex and the City, you know, that's the kind of way we saw it. Like, about our relationships with each other, with our families, with our partners, but also, like, what we're doing in life, where we go to work, what, you know? And it was a mix, but I think we were just getting started. I think there's so much more. A show like that should be on here because, you know, they have Housewives of Potomac. You know, I mean, yeah. No offense to Potomac. I love Michigan. I'm from the Midwest. But, like, London, there's so much going on. And, like, it's the city is such a glorious backdrop. It's London's a character itself, you know?
Absolutely. Do you think it'll come back?
But I'm trying to do something else. I'm not done with you haven't seen the last of
me. Yes. Okay. I can't wait for that. So we're coming out of what I like to call fashion month. So fashion week, all of that jazz. How was your fashion month experience? Did you do a lot for it?
I just did a fashion week. I just did London. Okay. I have so many great friends that are the best designers here. Mary Catranzu, the Peter Pelotto, Peter and Christopher boys, and David Coma. Lucky to go to some of the best shows because they're friends and I support them. I love their collections. I did request the only show in Paris was Chanel because I said, I want to see a Chanel. I was put on the wait list last season. So I said, okay, I'm going to request again. So I can see a show before Carl dies. And then he passed away literally the week after I requested this. And I said, okay, well, now everybody, now I'm definitely not going. So yeah. Better Lex next season. But yes. That was the only show I requested because I wanted to see one of Carl's last collections.
I know. What a dream that would have been.
Yeah.
Do you do much of New York Fashion Week or do you usually just get
I haven't done New York Fashion Week since I think 2000.
Okay, fair.
It
feels like a zoo in comparison to London. You know? I feel like London is smaller. It's some emerging brands, British brands. It's so different than New York.
Yeah, I haven't done New York in so long. I mean, last time I was in Ports 1961 was showing in New York. Now they're showing here. I was supposed to do New York, but I got stuck in Dubai. I was my own travel agent from the Maldives back to London. So I was booked to go to New York for Fashion Week. I had a bunch of great shows that I was going to and then missed my flight in Dubai.
Oh no, I think Erica told me this.
The connection. And the next flight out was in 2 days with available seats. They said, unless I wanted to go first class out of Abu Dhabi that day and it'd be £8,000 extra per ticket. And I was like, left the Maldives. I'm like, wait a second. I'm like, you want me to spend 20, whatever, two, whatever. I'm not good at math. Yeah. What's 8 times 3? 24,000 pounds. I'm like, no, that's an education right there.
That's insanity.
Yeah, so we stayed in Dubai for 2 days and I missed New York Fashion Week. Oh, well.
Get them next time. So speaking of fashion, what are your favorite UK or European brands, I guess, currently?
So I've been, obsessing over a lot of Scandi brands. Yes. Like I am so obsessed right now with Rotate Berger.
Okay.
Oh, the puff sleeves, the little mini dresses. I just bought a wild animal print dress from Hoffman Copenhagen. I had the greatest faux fur coats from Stand Official. All
me too.
It, Stand is obsessed. So great. Yeah. And Flo the Label, all Scandi brands. And actually Flo the Label, is that a lot of brands also coming out of Istanbul. So Raisa Vanessa, like very like strong, almost like, you know, Saint Laurent, Balmain, but in a way cooler. Yeah. Like not so commercial, you know? Yeah. And Magda Butryman, who's from my homeland of Poland, where my family's from. Okay. Paris Texas Boots. I think they're from Spain. Paris Texas Boots are my favorite things ever. But a lot of European brands, and the smaller, the better. I want to support, you know, like I've been supporting Rixo from day one.
Love Rixo.
And Ganni for a long time now, and they're now like everywhere, but yes. I've been wearing Ganni for 10 years. I love supporting the smaller brands, you know, a lot of women behind these brands, partners of, you know, two women, and, you know, love it. Love being kind of, as I said, I've been to Copenhagen like 5 times and never been until I moved here. And now I've been. It's like one of my favorite cities in the world.
Such a great city.
And so much good fashion coming out of there.
Amazing. Yeah. And when you walked in my door, I said, okay, I'm dead. What are you wearing?
It's Victoria Beckham, but it's the Victoria by Victoria. So it wasn't like thousands of dollars. But
where do you get it? Selfridges or?
No, at her store.
Oh, cool.
Where is it? I think it's when you walk in, it's either it's on the bottom floor is kind of the, her like lower line. But yeah, it's a denim tuxedo. What do you call it? No, it's what do we call it? Denim tuxedo?
Just a Canadian tuxedo. Yeah. So it's, I know y'all can't see it, but it's this like dreamy two piece denim getup. Maybe we'll put a link in for you guys to check it out.
Sure.
We were talking about like suits and power suits. Just, I'm obsessed with them. And it's International Women's Day on Friday. So
yeah,
like, I'm really in that mood.
Mango. I just was on their site. They do a great suit that's really like structured well and affordable. But I do believe in investing in a good suit. Like I bought this couple months ago, a Bella Freud velvet, green velvet suit that I actually wore to the Like to Know It book tour. Ooh, talk, yes. That I did. And I just felt confident, strong, and like a businesswoman, you yes. know? So when I do have a day of meetings, you know, I love a good power suit.
Yeah, a good power suit. It does the trick.
9 to 5.
Yeah, yeah.
Let the river run. Let all the up the nation. I gotta rewatch that movie, Working Girl.
I love it. Yeah. I told you this would be a fun convo.
Oh, I could sing. Although I'm feeling a little raspy today. I might need some Pat Benatar. Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
I love it.
I hope no one's like turned us off now after listening to me sing.
Oh my gosh. You know, this is a highlight. So we'll kind of segue and switch gears into sort of juggling family life, kids, blogging. I'm so impressed by just seeing how you kind of juggle all of this. So what does a typical sort of day or week look like for you?
Well, first of all, I am juggling. Like it's literally, there's balls up in the air at all times and nothing's typical. I mean, I luckily do have help that I can go in and out, but I want to be a present mom. I want to be there for my kids. But to me, being there for your kids is not having to pick them up from school every day, but it is, you know, coming home, sitting down for homework, tucking them in at night. My kids want to be tucked in every single night by both Gregor and I. And if we're out to dinner or something, we both go upstairs, still kiss them on the forehead. I mean, they're, you know, nurtured, loved, but they know that we're working. You know, they know mom's still, you know, everything I do is for them, you know? And I, you know, I've got years still to do it, but it's not, you know, some days I'm at Truman's soccer match in, you know, during like fashion week, running from a soccer match to a fashion show, to a birthday party and back. And you know, sometimes I do look like a freak in some of the wild outfits I'm wearing while I'm dropping them off at school or whatnot, but they know mom's not like all the other moms.
Yeah, you're like a cool mom.
That's what I try telling them that. I think they get that.
Yeah.
I'm like, your mom is totally bananas, but I'm fun and cool, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So speaking of like being present and with social media and Instagram, I feel like kind of like taking over at least my day to day. How do you turn it off? Like how do you just say like no time for Instagram? Like
my husband kind of like, I think it was a year ago, he was like, all right, this is a joke. Like I was at, you know, lunch and like in the weekends, I was like on my phone. And now, and it was a kind of a, we don't fight ever, but it was one of those moments where my husband literally lets me get away with everything. I'm like, oh, you know, he's like, try not to shop this month because we got the trip coming up. And I'm like, oh, sorry, couldn't handle it. I need those 6 pairs of shoes. And he's like, I can get away with everything with him. This was one of those things he kind of put his foot down. He's like, it was like crack. I mean, like I literally couldn't stop. And so I now, when I'm with them, I'm with them. So at night, you know, my husband comes home, the phone stays up on the charger. I go downstairs. We have a conversation.
Yeah.
We'll eat. We'll have a drink together.
Yep.
You know, we tuck the kids in and then I do take a break. I mean, before I didn't, and it was actually quite revolting and net gross, you know? And I do. I want to say it was 2 years ago because I think I have been really good about not being on as much anymore.
Do you leave your phone charged outside of your bedroom at night? I feel like that's something I need to incorporate.
Yeah, I still, it's the last thing I do before I go to bed and the first thing I do in the morning.
Same.
But it's my job. So it's like picking up your phone. It's the same thing as like, I mean, we used to get up, shower, and get in the car to go to the office. that's my office. I'm checking in. You know, I want to see. And now with the messages and, you know, that's where a lot of people reach me.
Yeah.
People DMs and the WhatsApps and everything's on my phone.
Yeah. What about on holiday? That is such a challenge for me, is like going on a true vacation with Nick and just really putting it away. Do you have boundaries, or are you kind of like, it's the usual?
Well, it depends. If I'm working with a hotel, like if I go on vacation and I've gotten like a media rate, you know, with them, I'm working. So I'm literally running around the island, and I'm relaxing is hard because then I've signed myself up for that. So I actually, you know, my favorite when I actually have the biggest vacation is I go to Chicago every summer with the kids for 5 weeks. They do camp, and I make breakfast, lunch, and dinner for them. I just kind of life slows down.
Yeah.
And I'm not Instagramming because I'm in the suburbs of Chicago, so I'm not in like fabulous. I'm literally in cutoff shorts and a t-shirt every day. And I kind of slow down. And that's kind of when my little vacation is during the year. Otherwise, I think I'm working nonstop.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that because I go home to the States every summer too. I feel like July, August is like the perfect time to go back and just like turn off. I'm in Rhode Island or I'm in Illinois or Chicago and we're just chilling.
Yeah, chilling.
Instagram takes a back seat. It can wait till I come back to Europe.
Yeah.
Do you have any tidbits of advice for new moms that are either working part-time, juggling their career?
I think you can do it all. I just have to, you know, but then again, if you can, you know, I have help. So I'd have no family here. So it's not like I can, you know, as someone to step in. So I have very fortunate that I have help. So if you can get help, I think women, we need free time. I think moms, you know, a babysitter, cleaner, you've got to, you know, if you can afford that luxury, we need help. We need assistance, but you know, we can still make our, being a mom doesn't mean life stops.
Yeah, absolutely.
For me, it just started actually when I became mom. That's when I go, oh, this is what life's about. I get it. And that's when I felt like my kids are my lucky charms. My husband's my like biggest cheerleader, and being mom, wife, everything. That's when my career, really, that's when I booked the show, got this amazing fashion job, started the blogging, was all like as a young mom. So yeah. I found my mojo in that.
That's awesome. That's so like reassuring to hear.
Yeah.
Refreshing, I guess, is the word.
Yeah.
So when you do have like a nugget of that free time, like what's the first thing you do? Are you going to get a mani? Are you going to have like a glass of wine at a bar, or rather a beer at a pub? Or are you like what's the go-to?
Well, right now it's like watch an episode of Game of Thrones.
Yes.
I'm living in their world. Okay. So this is what happened to me.
Okay.
I have watched 7 seasons.
Okay.
This month.
No way.
So my husband.
That seems impossible.
I know. It is. But I've been doing like 2-3 episodes a night. Like I've been saying no to dinner parties, no to going out to, like I literally, my kids go to sleep and I'm jump in bed and like I put on Netflix. This has never happened to me before. It is, nothing's run my life, I don't think, as much as this.
Yeah, but Game of
Thrones.
Except
the Jewel. The Jewel has ruined my life a little bit too.
Okay. I feel like you too. Either get fully immersed in Game of Thrones or you start it and you can't stick with it. I am on your side of like, I'm so obsessed. I'm like waiting for the next season.
Okay, but you have to understand. I thought everyone was ridiculous and weirdos for watching some like saga for the last eight years.
Yeah.
Okay. And it just took one flight with some movies that I've already seen. And I said, oh, let me check this thing out.
Yeah.
And then 4 episodes later on the airplane, I'm like downloaded every season and I haven't stopped.
Oh my God.
Like I cannot wait to get home tonight to watch another one. I'm almost done with season 7 now. So wow. I'm up to date now.
1 month is so impressive because I did, I think, 3-4 seasons in a summer and I thought that was good. So
no, I literally, okay, maybe it's in 2 months. When was LA? Was that last month? Okay, now you're scaring me. Maybe it's in 2 months.
Still impressive.
Well, I've gone through them all. So whatever it is,
yeah.
It's literally, I for how many years have I been telling people there, you all weirdos watching some like Game of Thrones show?
No, I completely get it. The next season's coming out when?
Like soon. Like this month, I think. No, next month?
No.
They just released the trailer.
Oh my God, I'm going to go watch the trailer like 5 times tonight now.
Yeah.
Are you a Bachelor fan by chance?
No.
All right. I'm not. We're not even going to get into that.
Are you?
I am.
Oh, okay.
I am. It's we'll
you and it. Ellen DeGeneres. No, literally, Ellen's like psychotically obsessed with it. Yeah.
Okay. So I moved here and I couldn't figure out how to watch it. And I finally realized I can buy it on iTunes. That was a quick fix. And okay. now that I can do that, I'm like so hooked. I'm so obsessed. Anyway, we'll save that for another episode.
I'd have to have like 22 seasons of catching up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I watched it back the first 2 seasons and then I've missed the last 20.
Yeah. That'll be too many months of watching.
I'm telling you, I don't get this hooked like I have with this Game of Thrones. I want to live in their world. If I'd known about it sooner, I literally would have moved to Dubrovnik like during their shooting season or gone to like Ireland or to Iceland and been an extra because that's how obsessed I am. I mean, I just saw Ed Sheeran was on it. And I'm like, I understand.
Yeah.
I would do whatever it takes to be on it too.
Yeah, yeah, completely.
I don't know if I'd want to be one of the brothel ladies though.
Yeah, no, probably not.
Yeah, I'd probably just want to be like a villager.
Oh my goodness.
Getting my head, my neck sliced open.
So to sort of wrap up our really fun convo, you have a full plate. I feel like you're always working on really exciting things and projects. Like, what are you currently working on? Anything you want to share? Anything upcoming?
Am I allowed to? I think I am. I'm doing, yeah, I can. I'm doing a collaboration with one of my favorite swimwear brands.
Ooh, which one?
It's called Mayo. M-A-I-Y-O.
Okay, amazing.
Beautiful pieces. And they made one of my favorite swimsuits. And I posted it. They said, we had amazing reaction to it. Do you want to do a collaboration? And it's a dream come true. So I'm working on that right now. We're designing it. We're exciting. Getting colors and patterns done. And doing some collaborations. So working
good
out on those. But... And then, yeah, I did a collaboration with iCopenhagen, a sunglass brand. Again, my love of anything from Copenhagen and Denmark.
Yes.
But yeah, and then planning some trips. I feel like I haven't had one in a while.
Yeah.
So ready to go get maybe proper R&R.
Like proper holiday.
Yeah, well, skiing, we're going to St. Moritz in 2 weeks.
Ooh.
Then we're going to go to Mauritius.
Never been.
And then I've been before. It's really pretty.
Okay.
And then Oman.
Okay.
And then Amsterdam, and I'm going to go see the tulips actually with Erica and bring my little daughter Georgie.
Oh my gosh! Okay, I was just talking to someone about the tulips. When do you need to go? Is it April or May?
Like, end of April.
End of April
and May, I think.
Okay, so there's like what, like a few week time period where you can see them.
I think
like
it's actually longer than we think. I think so? It's like 2 months.
Oh, all right, that's good to know actually.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, I wish you a fun future holiday and some like actual. R&R.
I need some.
Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you. Such a fun convo.
And thanks for the tea.
Yeah, of course. You're welcome. But before you go, where can everyone follow you, keep up with you?
So my handle's Juliet, just at J-U-L-I-E-T, like Shakespeare. And my blog is julietangus.com. And that's it, I guess, really.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. And I will see you guys very soon. Thanks for listening.